5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Warning. You're about to experience an unpleasant truth.
America must choose. To build a future or obsess about the past. To be a nation of fear, division, and of darkness.
Use your aggressive feeling.
Embrace anger, chaos, and truth, but in the shadow of lies.
Let the hate flow through you.
Together we can choose a different path.
Join me, and together we can rule the galaxy.
Our nation of fear, division, and of darkness.
Break me down with all of your hatred, and your journey towards the dark side will be complete.
Embrace anger. Thrive on chaos. But in the shadow of lies.
So this is how liberty dies. With thunderous applause.
Across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea. 3 hours of bold truth, excellence, and optimism for America. The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Well, welcome to hour three of the Wendy Bell Radio Program. Delighted, as always, to share time with you today. This idea of a great unraveling. You know, if I could hit a fast forward button on anything, it would be to scoot through this tail end of this Biden administration. It would be to see how it ends, to see if we save it, if we rise up, if we do what needs to be done. Because what we're doing right now is it's not working. And everybody knows it's not working, and the stories are unraveling. The narratives, the propaganda, the players, they're being exposed. This is why the Senate doesn't want you to know how their members vote. This is why they do things at the 11th hour on a Friday. This is all of, you know how it works. But for the media to begin to unravel as well is pretty remarkable. And NPR, it's so disappointing when you see how biased, how unobjective, how unfair, how petty, how petulant, how rude, how sophomoric so much of the content is out there. It's just triggered. It's deranged. And it's so unappealing. So yesterday when we read you this story of this 25-year veteran, an editorial editor, presumptively, at NPR, who came out and he said on Barry Weiss's podcast, look, I'm speechless to tell you that when I did a cursory review of all of the 80-odd people on our editorial board, that not one single one was a registered Republican. Homogenized thinking, unilateral thinking is not whatever made America great. And it's certainly not going to be the solution. So he came out, and now NPR is saying, wait a minute, we strongly disagree. Like, there's an opportunity. You've got this window. When somebody comes forward and they're like, look, I'm going to give you some irrefutable evidence that is going to probably challenge your perspective of this news outfit. They want you to believe that they're a legacy news operation that is worthy of nostalgia and respect. But what they have done predictably over the last several years is trample your values and demonize people whose voices echo that feeling you have in your heart. So this is the story from Breitbart. This is the follow-up. Like, what do you do with a whistleblower who's still employed there? Like, the guy isn't, he's not concealing his voice. He's not talking in darkness. He's full frontal camera. Here you go. This is what I see. This is the headline, Breitbart.com. Strongly disagree. NPR rejects accusation of political bias from veteran editor. Now, this is intriguing. They could go and say, they could go back into their history and talk about anything that's actually proving that they're objective, that they're bipartisan. They don't have that, so they've got one final card to play. They got to be a victim in some capacity. They've got to be downtrodden. You've got to be rooting for them. They can't just say, you know what? We've really sucked. And we're sorry. And we fell for the narrative. We fell for the Adam Schiff establishment narrative. We got cajoled and conned and used and spit up. And we owe you an apology. Everybody likes somebody who admits that they blew it. Right? How desperate are you on the job when something goes haywire? And everybody knows who the hell on the team did it. For that person just to be like, my gosh. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Give me another chance. Let me try to make it up to you. I'll do better. You root for that. They don't understand how to do that in the progressive world. And I don't understand. Here's a few little snippets of this story. Far left National Public Radio issued a hasty rebuke Tuesday to senior business editor Yuri Berliner after he took the broadcaster to task over its lack of diverse views and opinions bookended by left-wing bias. Berliner, in his op-ed published in the Free Press, wrote that the rise of advocacy at taxpayer-funded NPR just took off with the election of former President Trump in 2016. The news veteran said he could count 87 registered Democrats in editorial positions, but zero Republicans in the same positions in its Washington, D.C. headquarters. These are the people who bark at you over equity, over diversity, over this kumbaya melting pot tapestry where we're all a welcome thread in the loom. Unless, of course, you're a conservative, in which case, screw you. Be done with you. Berliner's essay cited specific examples in which NPR's coverage in recent years faltered. And he argued while he, too, opposes Trump, the newsroom actively worked to damage or even topple Trump's presidency. He declared NPR spun about the coronavirus lab leak theory. Representative Adam Schiff, the don't say gay bill, Hunter Biden's laptop, the 2016 Russia hoax, while harboring an obsession with DEI and progressive dictates. Now, the story is NPR responds. They respond on NPR.com and so or NPR.org. NPR defends its journalism after senior editor says it's lost the public's trust. See, we've already tried this case. The listeners have tuned out. The advertisers have dried up. We don't want to be browbeaten anymore. It's too late, NPR. But here's the story. NPR's top news executive defended its journalism and its commitment to reflecting a diverse array of views. On Tuesday, after a senior NPR editor wrote a broad critique of how the network has covered some of the most important stories of the age, an open-minded spirit no longer exists with NPR. And now, predictably, we don't have an audience that reflects America, writes Yuri Berliner. A strategic emphasis on diversity and inclusion on the basis of race, ethnicity, and sexual orientation, promoted by NPR's former CEO John Lansing, has fed, quote, the abuse of viewpoint diversity. It's so important because what he's saying is we're losing touch with the basic stuff. Just don't be a dirtbag. We don't have to all go hook, line, and sinker into the woke nonsense and drop down into the chasm of suck. Let's just remember what we do. We're reporters. We're supposed to report. I don't want your views any more than I want Charles Barkley to tell me what he thinks. NPR's chief news executive, Edith Chapin, wrote in a memo to staff on Tuesday afternoon that she and the news leadership team strongly reject Berliner's assessment. We're proud to stand behind the exceptional work that our desks and shows do to cover a wide range of challenging stories. We believe that inclusion among our staff, with our sourcing, and in our overall coverage is critical to telling the nuanced stories of this country and our world. Shut up. Shut up. You guys took a detour. You traveled a path that has ended in calamity. You know you are no longer relevant. You know you broadcast to a very select niche of people. They are the people who agree with you. There's a lot of other people out there in the country, NPR. And you've pooed all over them for years, claiming that you're down with all of these do-goodery objectives. Doesn't absolve you of your sin. You stopped being objective. You took it personally. And you dragged a legacy news outlet into the heap of irrelevance. Now, hats off to this guy who blew the whistle. Not like he said something to us that we didn't know. Just gave us the facts. Can they even get rid of them? Well, they play the victim, ladies and gentlemen. Because in this NPR article, staffers are quoted anonymously as saying they just don't know how they'll be able to work with this guy again. I don't know if I can trust him. I don't know. There's a rift now in this company because somebody said the truth. Time to be done with the unraveled NPR. Good riddance. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, let's talk about this calling out green climate stuff, the grift. The public knows it's a scam. That whole thing's unraveled too. Rejoice, you've done it. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. All right, so in keeping with our theme today, like everything is unraveling. The threads are being pulled and the tapestry is coming apart and everybody is seeing what's really going on. The emperor is wearing no clothes. You cannot trust the media. You cannot trust the Democrats. You cannot trust Chuck Schumer. You cannot trust Alejandro Mayorkas. You can't trust anything. And the few voices that are emerging that you can, you're finding all these alternate universes, right? Alternate economies. Places that are made in America, where you buy things in America that have been made in America. As a start, choosing specific places to get your information, shutting off the television, perhaps. The legacy news, if you will, and finding voices that you appreciate and trust elsewhere. They're forcing you into certain lanes. And they're realizing that the lanes that they hope everybody chooses, they don't like. We've been there. This green climate grift, it's all a money laundering operation. Anything that they put out there that has to do with the climate. When they bebop all around the world in the private jets and they try to tell you, Bill Gates tries to tell you that he donates so much, he's so philanthropic that his philanthropy crosses out his carbon footprint, which is egregious. It's making up rules. It's Chuck Schumer saying, yeah, you know what? I know you guys at the House are going to send over some articles of impeachment against Mayorkas. I'm not feeling it. So I'm going to buck 200 years of precedent with the Constitution and say, suck it. We're not voting on that. Proceed. What comes next? No. It's a grift. This is from thelibertydaily.com, and this is the title. Exit stage right. Investors are bailing on green funds. The same way the automakers are bailing on the Agenda 2030 or whatever it is. All these pie in the sky, idiotic, woke, feely, touchy, sucky plans, which are unsustainable and moronic. And anybody partially paying attention knew this. Investors are fading on green energy investment funds due to worries about the sector's ability to grow and the possible return of former President Donald Trump to the White House. Reuters reported Wednesday, citing analysis conducted by a firm called LSEG Lipper. Funds that invest specifically in green energy companies and products around the world saw investment outflows totaling $4.8 billion during the first quarter of 2024. It's the largest amount in a single quarter on record. Meantime, the S&P Global Clean Energy Index has tanked by about 10 percentage points this year, while the S&P 500 Energy Index, a fund that features many oil and gas companies, is up by more than 16% this year so far. You shut off Keystone. You close down everything that made us energy independent, that would allow us to tap into the beautiful, precious, and abundant natural resources underneath our feet, to put us in a supply chain conundrum, to rely on goods and services that come from foreign countries that hate us, but that have probably bribed Joe Biden. And so this is a give back. People aren't falling for it anymore. The green energy grift seems to be falling apart. And this is very interesting because the state of Mississippi now has taken a step farther. Have you heard about this? This is from the dailycaller.com. Red state, Mississippi, slaps Wall Street titan BlackRock with cease and desist order over fraudulent claims about green investments. All this diversity, equity, and inclusion mumbo jumbo, this ESG nonsense, this manufactured do-goodery, where we're going to elevate certain people because they're black, or we're going to pass over certain people because they're straight white men, is created by, propagated by these clowns at BlackRock and Vanguard and State Street. And Mississippi says, screw you. We don't want your investments, your green energy portfolios that you try to tell us will have these wonderful dividends in the future that demonstrably are false. Take your social governance, your ESG nonsense, and shove it. You're not allowed here anymore. It's the unraveling. It's the reality that creating all of these charging stations is irrelevant because people don't want to go out and buy these cars. And the people who do fit a very specific subset. It's like the very specific subset that still thinks NPR is relevant. It's your college educated, by and large white, exclusively Democrat, socialist, Marxist, communist, progressive, right? And younger. Everybody else is like, you know what? I like my 1998 Honda Accord. Thank you very much. I don't need to change everything I'm doing to satisfy your claims, because your claims, BlackRock, are not demonstrably proven, and we don't trust you anyway. Pack up, get out. I think this is very encouraging, ladies and gentlemen. It's business. It's media. It's Congress. It's the Senate. It's everything pushback. And when we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, you want to talk about pushback. Ladies and gentlemen, I give to you Alex Jones. What he's doing against the FBI and the CIA? Next. The story about Alex Jones, this undercover video of this CIA worker guy talking about how the alphabet agencies go out and entrap Americans who they disagree with politically. And it was so ho-hum and matter-of-fact, it was honestly speechless. Now, if you're new, first of all, welcome back to the Wendy Bell Radio Show. We're thrilled to be with you. On the show yesterday, we played this audio for you, and we're going to resuscitate a couple clips for you, because Alex Jones, who was sued by the Sandy Hook families for saying that he believed that Sandy Hook was a conspiracy, that it didn't really happen. And they went after him in a civil fashion, and a judge allowed that, and $100 million judgment against him that's in the appeals process and all this other stuff going on. This comes up in this weird undercover kind of Project Veritas-ish undercover recording where it's two men One is this guy who works with the CIA. The other is obviously somebody who's trying to court him, but is actually an undercover folk who is capturing the audio, asking him about how far the federal government goes through the FBI and the CIA to go after its political enemies. And it's breathtaking. Well, now Alex Jones is suing. He's like, screw you. Screw you. Great unraveling. This from VigilantNews.com. Alex Jones to sue the FBI and CIA after undercover video reveals feds targeted him. I mean, honestly, if we're not all on the same page that that January 6th was a setup, that they planted the seeds of that months in advance of January 6th when the FBI went and knocked on a bunch of people's doors with Oath Keepers, right? And the Proud Boys trying to get somebody within these organizations to be an undercover informant for them. You know that the seeds were planted, and this is exactly what this guy says the CIA does. So here's the story. Media personality Alex Jones declared his intention to file lawsuits against the FBI and the CIA during an appearance on the Benny Johnson Show. This announcement followed the release of an undercover video by Sound Investigations, which featured a CIA officer purportedly admitting to federal agencies targeting conservatives, including Alex Jones. The Gateway Pundit previously reported on the footage in which Gavin O'Blenis, a contracting officer for the CIA, was caught on hidden camera by an undercover journalist claiming that the FBI could imprison anyone by setting them up, a method he referred to as a nudge. O'Blenis singled out right-wing journalists, specifically Tucker Carlson and Alex Jones, as being problematic and suggested that the FBI took Jones' money away and chopped his legs off as a means of crippling his operations. And I remind you that it's Donald Trump, they tell us, who is the threat to democracy. It's not censorship. It's not false charges. It's not imprisoning innocent people. It's not going after your political enemies. It's not about seating biased juries. It's not about buying off judges. It's not about all of this stuff. It's not about affecting elections. It's not about pushing terrible gene scrambling elixirs as the savior during a once in a lifetime global pandemic. It's Donald Trump. He's the threat, ladies and gentlemen, not these people. Right. O'Blenis also disclosed the presence of undercover FBI agents during the events at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, suggesting a widespread federal involvement in key national events. He mentioned the use of, quote, embellished news and fake social media as tools to incite public anger and manipulate public perception. Now, I want to play some of the sound for you just to remind you of where we went yesterday. These people are so dark. They care so little. They are so corrupt. They wish to destroy everything that you love and hold dear, that they will run interference and waste all of their time and energy to silence voices that are on to the con. In audio soundbite number one, this guy, Gavin O'Blenis, says basically you can imprison anybody if you know how to do it. You set them up, you trap them. And this sounds so vaguely familiar of the thousands of people who have been or are soon to be criminally persecuted and prosecuted for January 6th. Listen.
You can kind of put anyone in jail if you know what to do.
How?
You set them up.
Does the Bureau practice entrapment a lot?
We get really close. We call it a nudge.
A nudge.
A nudge. Sometimes you just gotta give them a quick little just to see what happens. Sometimes you light the fuse and just wait for it to follow. Nothing like putting out a fake social media thing to like really get people mad.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
You are?
We did what we wanted.
Which was what?
Took his money away, chopped his legs off.
We got what we wanted. We took his money away. We chopped his legs off. Here we have a guy smugly talking about. He's trying to court this other fellow, of course, trying to act big. It's what we do in the dance called, you know, romance, I guess. It sort of feels like the vibe I'm getting. And he's sitting there boasting about what the agency does that is disgusting and reprehensible and vile in every capacity. And it continues. Because he can't, he's sort of elusive at first. He's like, yeah, I can't really tell you where I work, but I'm so desperate for you to find out where I work because I really need you to think I am a big shot. I am such a big shot. Listen to this uncomfortable give and go as this Gavin O'Blenis just basically dishes on the FBI and CIA. Go.
I'm not supposed to tell people kind of job.
If I say intelligence, what do you think?
CIA?
Yep.
Oh, you work for the CIA?
I do.
That's incredible.
I'm a contracting officer.
That's amazing.
So I deal a lot with, like, different agencies. We're contracting with, like, Director of National Intelligence to do stuff. We do Navy, Army, any of them, really. I just, FBI. I used to work for the FBI, so
really?
They threw the FBI at me. They're like, here, you used to work there. Oh, I'm permanent. So, yeah.
Good. Well, why do they call it contracting?
Because I do the contract. I do all the legal contracts. I fly out to vendors and evaluate them. I love the agency.
Good for you.
I like the Bureau, too. The Bureau was a lot of fun. I got to do a lot of cool stuff with the Bureau. I was the guy in the back of the truck in the van.
I got to do a lot of cool stuff at the Bureau. I got to go out and I got to entrap people and lie about them and get them thrown away for the rest of their lives. Oh my God, it was so much fun. It just energized me down to my toes. Ew! Ew! You are gross. So during his interview with Benny Johnson, Alex Jones expressed his conviction, of course, that the now public statements by O'Blenis necessitate immediate action. No duh! He said, I'm planning to launch a lawsuit against the CIA and the FBI. He contextualized the timing of the undercover video's release as divine intervention, coinciding with the closure of his bankruptcy proceedings and other legal matters. The InfoWars founder said that his portrayal by the media and the government was a misrepresentation aimed at demonizing him. He indicated that his planned lawsuit would not only be a personal vindication, but an effort to expose the overreach of rogue agencies operating like a domestic KGB. No wonder 19 House Republicans said, hell no, no Section 702, no FISA wire, no wiretapping without warrants, no invading our privacy. They already do it. They already do it. January 6th was a setup. Hook, line, sinker. Next. You know that. Finally, this O'Blenis guy talks about the feds going after their opponents. And he does it in such a way that's gleeful. Well, we'll use these fake social media posts and we'll put stuff up to trigger them, kind of like setting a fuse and waiting to see what happens. And then we let them hang themselves. And then we suck them into the vortex of lawfare, whatever, warfare, and we send them away to prison. Sounds just like January 6th. Go.
O'Blenis spoke to an undercover Sound Investigations reporter about his work experience involving near entrapment and his employers' involvement with political commentator Alex Jones's legal battles.
As long as the Bureau is able to progress far enough to be able to put pro-lifers in jail whenever they want.
Yeah.
You think that's on the agenda?
We can, you can kind of put anyone in jail if you know what to do.
How?
You set them up.
You set them up.
You create the situation to where they have no choice but to act on their impulse. And once they act on that impulse, then we call that entrapment. It's a fine line.
Does the Bureau practice entrapment a lot?
We get really close.
Not officially?
No. We get as close as we can. We get as close as we can to it without doing it.
So they can entrap some of these pro-lifers into doing things that they
depending,
don't...
Yeah. We call it a nudge.
A nudge.
A nudge.
Mm.
Sometimes you just gotta give them a quick little, just to see what happens, right?
And how does that happen?
You put a post out there, or you have someone fake profile say something that triggers, that we know is gonna trigger them, right? Like, we already know your history. If we're to that point, we already know everything about it.
We already know your history! If we're at that point, we already know everything about you! In addition to saying 20 at least undercover FBI agents were there at the Capitol, it's all unraveling, ladies and gentlemen. All of the stories that you've been told, the narratives, the finger pointing, the smoke screens, the ridiculous stuff that you know is absolutely crazy, is crazy on purpose. And it's crazy at the hands of your federal government. How do you blow up these agencies? Because we can't continue with these folks, period. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, I want to tell you about this. It's a new day, but a different grift, spending billions of dollars on California's homeless. How's it going? Oh my goodness. I've got the dollars and cents of crazy next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. I would very much enjoy having a reasonable conversation with somebody from California who's a progressive, who's a liberal, who votes Democrat always, because that's just the way you do it. Even when your most beautiful state, which is just off the charts. What a great place, California. It's been dragged into the ground. It's been taxed into oblivion. It's been made unsafe. It's become a sanctuary of suck. Every misfit, land of misfit toys. There you go. Welcome to California. Bending over for every illegal immigrant in the world and shafting the people who've been there, who've built it, who keep it sustainable with their tax base, made it unsafe, drugs rampant, homelessness out of control. Gavin Newsom just greasing his hair back, thinking he is all that. Well, this is a headline from the Wall Street Journal I saw this morning. California's homeless folly. This is another grift. It's another money laundering operation. It's like Alejandro Mayorkas having the gall to go to before the House and say, you know what, my budget next year, well, we're going to take some from Border Patrol because that's making sense. We've been overworking them, screwing them over. We're going to take a bunch of chunk of money from the Border Customs and Border Patrol, from ICE, from FEMA. And we're going to create this slush fund so we can do whatever we want with migrants and ship them all over the country. Hell no, you're not. How about this? California has spent $24 billion to combat homelessness over the last 5 years. And what did it get for its money? Mind you, this is the editorial staff. This is the editorial board, Wall Street Journal, writing this today. Yesterday. More homelessness is what they got, according to a new state audit that should embarrass Sacramento and infuriate taxpayers. The legislature charged state auditor Grant Parks with reviewing the state's homelessness spending as the numbers camping on the street rise. Alas, who says that? Alas, comma, his report this week concludes that the state, quote, lacks current information on the ongoing costs and outcomes of its homelessness programs. Wait a minute. You raise people's taxes. You get their money. Money goes into a well. You take a big bucket. You send it down into the well. You take the bucket up, bring out the money, and you go spend it. Where did it go? What did you get? Who did you house? Who's off the streets? Anybody? Bueller? Well, the agency in charge, quote, has not consistently tracked and evaluated the state's efforts to prevent and end homelessness, he adds. Translation, California's been wasting billions of dollars to no good effect. What? Now, this is where things get haywire. According to the audit, 181,000 people were homeless, 181,399 people were homeless at some point in 2023. It was up a bit from 2013, up a lot, 30,000 more homeless since 2019 when Donald Trump was president. To address this ongoing crisis, 9 state agencies have collectively spent billions of dollars in state funding over the past 5 years, administering at least 30 programs dedicated to preventing and ending homelessness. Yet the guy in charge of this audit found that only 2 programs, quote, appear to be, quote, cost effective. Wait, what? Emphasize appear. One program converted existing buildings such as hotels into homeless housing at $144,000 per unit. What? What are they getting? Granite? This was less expensive than the $380,000 to $570,000 per unit it cost to build new affordable housing in 2019. But there's little evidence that the program kept anybody off the streets. Another program provided financial assistance to people who were deemed at risk of homelessness, which cost about $12,000 to $20,000 per household. The auditor found this was less expensive than the $30,000 to $50,000 a year that each homeless person costs taxpayers. Wait, what? It's like a year of private college education. Getting the mentally ill and drug addicted homeless into treatment and jobs is certainly the most cost-effective solution here. But progressives oppose the tough love required of both. They prefer pushing more money into housing that does not address the dysfunction of the homeless. Progressives always measure success by how much they spend, never by results. This is the Wall Street Journal editorial board saying this. The unraveling, ladies and gentlemen. It's on. It is what? Progressives always measure success by how much they spend, never by the results. And they finish with this line. Don't expect Governor Gavin Newsom's $6.4 billion bond for homelessness that voters barely approved last month to change anything. They've wasted $24 billion in 5 years. They haven't gotten any homeless off the street. They haven't changed the problem. They haven't moved the needle. Nobody's getting help. It's the same thing as Fannie Willis getting all this $488,000 in federal grant money, which is supposed to go to some gang prevention youth facility that was never built. It's the wrong people checking the wrong boxes, being put in the wrong jobs, making the wrong decisions, and sticking us with the bill. Every single agenda item we talked about today, from the open border to the absolute mad progressive bias of your legacy media, to the abject bias and corruption within the CIA and the FBI, all of it un-freaking-raveling. It's a great time to be an American. I hope you come back tomorrow. It's Friday, Bad Joke Friday, and good news, we got all of it 21 hours away. Until then, peace.